What does victory look like? The Jews lived under the scepter of the Roman Empire, but they believed that one day a king would come to set them free. They longed to see a victory. But when the king of the Jews finally came, he was arrested, beaten, sentenced to death. And as their would-be savior hung between two thieves, there was only defeat. Nobody on that hill had the slightest idea that they were looking at a victory. We yearn to see victory. Every waking moment, our hearts yearn for breakthroughs, for things to change in our lives, in our world. No more war, no more poverty, no more sickness, and no more pain. Because of the things our eyes see, there is only defeat. No one has the slightest idea what we are looking at. A victory. Our King has already come, and He has won. And through the blood of Jesus, we have won. We have won, for God is the one who fights for us. For God is on our side. For it was He who overcame, because He reigns forever. We have won. Death is defeated. Chains are broken, and darkness will not prevail. Can you see what victory looks like right where you are? Look again. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Christ, we have won.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's try that again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to my friends in Axis, Northeast Center, West Center, our global churches, and anywhere around the world. I want to welcome you. I'm so glad that you have taken the time to be with us this morning. Welcome to the first weekend of the year 2020, brand new year. Welcome to the first service of a brand new decade. So we are so glad that you are here with us this morning. Before we start this morning's service, we just turn to your neighbor on your left and right. Just tell them this, all right? Just tell them, God loves you. Put a smile on your face this morning. Come on, tell them. God loves you. Well, this is Focus Weekend. For this weekend, we're going to do it in two parts. Focus 1 this weekend, and then Focus 2 on the next weekend. But before we dive into hearing what God has in store for our church for the year 2020, let me give us a little bit of recap of how God has journeyed with us since the year 2016. At the end of 2015, God spoke to us in no uncertain terms that from the year 2016 to the year 2020, it's going to be a period called light into darkness. God wants us to be His light and to bring His light into different arena of darkness. And light always wins, because when light comes in, darkness has to flee. So in 2016, we start off with the focus called Kainos, a new beginning. Not the same old, but we want to do things in a fresh way. Look at God in a fresh way. We want our life to be impacted. 2017 was the focus of only God. We want to be totally dependent, completely reliant on God, such that when all is said and done, no one except God gets all the glory. 2018 was the focus called empowered. That's how I say it, empowered. Because we want to live in a reality that we are truly already empowered by God. We are already empowered by the Holy Spirit, and we want to live our life in a fresh way. Then at the end of 2018, on the 1st of October, to be very precise, a very significant thing happened, was that our movement was born. And this is a very important event for our church here in Singapore, as well as our global churches all over the world. Therefore, in 2019, the focus was let the world see. We're inviting the world to come, not to see our new logo, not to see a fresh way that we have learned to express our vision and our mission, which we have been doing since day one of our church, But what we're inviting the world to come to see was Jesus. We want the world to come and see Jesus in and through us, not only here in Singapore, but all over the world. And 2019 was a fantastic year, and there are many things we can give praise to God for, but there are a few things I want to highlight. I want all the church, every one of us, even those of us who are watching us on the screen, anywhere around the world, so we can celebrate together as a movement. Well, right here in Singapore, I want to give praise to God for our Northeast Center, because in 2019, we moved into New Tech Park. And I know that there is a kind of burst of joy right now in New Tech Park. It's fantastic. Also, give praise for the West Center, because in 2019, it was kind of like a wandering in the wilderness for the West Center. We went to a few places, we tried out this place, we tried out that place, and then praise God, because for the year 2020, we found a location that we're going to be plonking ourselves in a more permanent fashion. That is a Genting Hotel. So from the second weekend of February onwards, we're going to be in Genting Hotel until the rest of the year. In 2019, I also want to give praise because 2019, we started our inaugural student conference. Fantastic. More than 1,500 students was there at, I don't know, the place in the east. What's that place called? Downtown East, that's right. Praise God, Downtown East. Never thought of that, okay? Downtown East. So it was a wonderful place, and the theme was Revelation to Revolution. So that was fantastic. 2019 was also the year that God empowered us by His grace as we pioneer life groups and plant churches in different countries in the world. At the end of 2018, we were in 25 countries. At the end of 2019, by the grace of God, we have established God's church in 30 countries. So let's give God a big, big hand, everybody. Come, let's give Him praise. So a few months after we kick-started our movement, on the 1st of October 2018, we began to seek God, and somewhere in the middle of last year, 2019, God dropped a rhema word in my heart, which I like to share with all of us, because this is important for all of us, those of us who call Hope Singapore your home church, either here in Singapore or anywhere around the world, this movement that God has given to us, the rhema word that God gave to me were these words. God says that, I'm not calling us to strive and start a movement. But God instead is calling us to be the movement that He has already destined us to be. In other words, what God is saying is that instead of struggling to become a movement, we need to live off the fact that we are already a movement. Not striving, struggling to become a movement, but to live off the fact that God has already called us to be a movement. What is true for the whole body is also true for the individual. What God is saying to the movement at large has great implication for every one of us who is sitting right here in this service and watching me on the screen. A parallel of what God is saying to the entire movement, when you scale it down to individual level, this is what God is saying to all of us. God is saying that instead of struggling to live victoriously, let's live off the fact that we are already victorious in Christ. Do you hear what I'm saying? Instead of struggling to live a victorious life, we ought to live off the fact that we are already victorious in Christ. Now, allow me to be very visual this morning, so that we are able to really capture this idea, this rhema word that God is speaking to us. How many of you here are already following Christ? You're already a Christian, and you're very thankful for the grace and the mercy of God in your life. Come on, lift up your hands and give me a wave. For those of us who are Christ followers, what God is saying is this. We must not live our life in a pre-cross fashion. Living our life in a way as if we do not yet know Jesus. Living our life in a pre-cross fashion, meaning living our life outside of Christ, before Christ, so that we strive and we struggle for victory. But what God is saying that we need to live our life, those of us who lift our hands, we need to live our life in a post-cross fashion. Not struggling and striving for victory, but live in a post-cross fashion, trusting and actualizing the victory that God has already bought for us when He died on the cross for all of our sins. Let's not live in this side of the chasm, struggling and striving for victory, but live in a post-cross understanding, a post-cross mentality, a post-cross belief, knowing that Christ already died for us. We are trusting and actualizing the victory that God has already bought for us. And this idea is very well encapsulated in this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. The Bible says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ means to belong to Christ. In Christ means to be united in Christ. In Christ means to know that you know that you know that Jesus lives in you. You believe with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe, you confess with your mouth, and you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. If this is you, the Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, the Bible says, he is, come on, help me, he is what? A new creation. Not he will become a new creation. Not he hopes to become a new creation. Not he prays towards becoming a new creation. Not he strives to become a new creation. The Bible says, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The pre-cross life has passed away, and the new has come. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Not the old is going. And then at the age of 90 years old, gone. Maybe before it's gone, you are gone already. Not that. The old has passed away. He is a new creation. So because of the cross, we can have victory in every area of our life. Because of the cross, we can live victoriously. Jesus' finished work on the cross is the starting point of our victorious living. Our life in Christ begins at the finish. His finished work is the starting point of our victorious life in Him. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is with great excitement that I'd like to declare to you that the focus for 2020 is we have won. Because of the cross, because of the finished work of Jesus on the cross, we have won. 中文叫全然得胜. Some of my esteemed colleagues who are very Singaporean, I say, 全然得胜 is not very good. They say, 赢了咯, I say, okay. 今年啊,什么啊,赢了咯,赢了咯. Okay, whatever way you want to say it. Maybe the dialect group, Pastor Daniel, 赢了咯,赢了咯,赢了咯. We have won. Now turn to your neighbor on your left and your right. You must say we have won with conviction, okay? Say, we have won? No, we have won. Come, turn to them on your left and say, we have won. We have won. Now. Let me take you on a journey. Now go with me to Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through to 15. Three verses. It's important for us to anchor our focus for this year upon these three verses. Because it's important for us to really understand why we say we have won. Not just because Pastor Jeff says so, not just because the church leadership says so, but because the Word of God tells us so. We want to build our conviction upon the Word of God. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 to 15. You see, in Colossians chapter 2, Paul was encouraging the believers to remain centered on Christ and not to be led astray by other teachings. He was urging the believers to be rooted and built up in Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 to 15. Let me read for us three verses. Listen to the reading of the Word of God. Verse 13, the Bible says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Verse 15, everybody, let's read out this one verse loud and clear, shall we, everybody? The Bible says, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. We have won. Three verses, three ideas in progressive fashion, one building upon another. I'm going to give you the three ideas, and then I'm going to spend the rest of our sermon just explain these three ideas to us so we can really come to a conclusion why we can truly say we have won. Three ideas. Number one, we were dead. Number two, we are forgiven. Number three, we have won. We were dead. We are forgiven. We have won. Three ideas from three verses, progressive fashion. Let's start with the bad news. The bad news is this. Number one, we were dead. We were dead. Now, how do I know that? Now, go with me to verse 13. Look at what Paul wrote. The Bible said this. The Bible says, when you were dead. Not if, when. All of us, young and old, rich and poor, educated, simple, doing great works all your life, contributing to the poor, giving to President Challenge, those of us who steal, rape, whatever. The Bible says, when you were dead, all of us, there was one point in life we were all dead. How were we dead? We were dead in our sins. We were dead in the uncircumcision of our flesh. Outside of Christ, we were all dead in our sins. The Bible talks about uncircumcision of the flesh. The Bible here is not talking about physical circumcision, which the Jewish people then, they were very familiar with. Even now, they're very familiar with. But uncircumcision of the flesh, it talks about the uncircumcision of the sinful nature. It talks about the depravity of man. We were dead. Outside of Christ, we were all spiritually dead. We didn't have the capability, the capacity to accept and to understand the things of God. We think that the things of God were foolish. Outside of Christ, while we're living on this side of the cross, we were not able to accept, understand the things of God. We think that the things of God were foolish. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 sums it up well. The Bible says, the person without the Spirit, the person who doesn't have the seal of the Spirit within him, the person who is living outside of Christ, yet to come to a place where he received Jesus into his life as his Lord and Savior. This person does not accept the things that comes from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them. Cannot accept, cannot understand the things of God. Think that the things of God were foolish. Perhaps there are some of you here, you have yet to come to a relationship with Jesus. Or perhaps many of us here who were once outside of Christ, we are living outside of Christ, we think that the things of God were foolish. We think that Christianity is a crutch for those who are weak. I remember when I first came to church, I noted that during praise and worship, a lot of people cry. A lot of people cry. They cry. They're like a kind of wet basket case. They cry, cry. And then in my mind, I was thinking, man, this Christianity thing is only for the weak. Those people who are CMI cannot make it. Then they need Christianity. They need a crutch to kind of hold on for the rest of our life. But for those of us who are strong, we are able, we are in control, man, we don't need it. If you need Christianity, well, good for you. You go to church. Well, I can go on and do my own things. I didn't have the capacity. Maybe some of us here the same. We couldn't understand and accept the things of God. And then we came to a point where we understand that in the final analysis, all of us are weak. None of us is ever truly in control of anything. And then we came to a point, and then we understand that, man, everyone needs Jesus, but outside of Christ, we couldn't. Or perhaps some of us, we begin to think this way. So simple. Just come before God, say a prayer, believe in your heart, and then everything okay already. So simple. Just like that. Then God forgive everything. So simple. Too good to be true. No such thing. No free lunch. We couldn't understand that it may be simple. It may be even, it is even free for us, but it costs God everything to buy our pardon. But we couldn't accept We couldn't understand that because our minds were darkened. Outside of Christ, our minds were darkened. Outside of Christ, we are physically alive, but we were spiritually dead. And we needed Jesus to come and resurrect us unto a new life. We were dead. And this is an important truth for both the pre-believers as well as the believers to understand. For pre-believers, it's important for obvious reason. If today you are here and do not know Jesus, it's important to understand that outside of Christ, we were spiritually dead. Man's biggest problem is not the lack of money. Man's biggest problem is not cannot get married. Man's biggest problem is not I am already married. Man's biggest problem is not that tomorrow I have to go back to work. Man's biggest problem is not that this year people say that it's going to be a bad economical year. Man's biggest problem is sin. And that is why man's biggest need is a Savior. And His name is, come on, help me, His name is Jesus. It's obvious for the pre-believers. But it's also important for the believers to know. Some of you may ask, why, Pastor? Why is it important for the believers to know that outside of Christ, we were dead? Because after being Christian for some time, we may be tempted to forget who we were outside of Christ. We may begin to entertain the thought that we are actually quite okay. I don't murder, I don't rape, I don't commit adultery, I don't burn people's house, I don't rob, I don't steal, so I am quite okay. We may begin to even entertain the thought that actually I am quite good. But it's important for us from time to time to bring ourselves back to the reality that outside of Christ, which all of us were there one time or another in our life, we were there. And when we were there, we were dead. The purpose of sharing this with you is not to make you feel bad. The purpose of sharing this with you is not to make you feel guilty. The purpose of sharing this with you, on the contrary, is to bring us to a point to appreciate how good God really is. We serve a loving, good God. Can someone say amen? Amen. So it doesn't matter either you are a one-day-old new believer, or you are a five-year-old believer, or you are a seasoned believer who have been in church 30, 40, 50, 60, 100 years. It doesn't matter either you are green, wet behind your ears, coming to church, thinking that a worship song is called sentimental song because it's slow song, and then fast song is called disco song, whatever, or you have ever taken picture with the late Rehab Bonke together, your buddy. Wherever you are, you must come to a point to remember that we are all dead, and come to a point where we all understand that we must always, always learn to rely on the cross. Never, ever live our life outside of the cross. It doesn't matter how long we have been in church, how much you know, how much you have gone through. Never ever live your life outside of the cross. Always learn to depend on the cross. Everything in life you should hold loosely. You hold loosely. Your job, your career, your finance, your title, everything hold loosely. But with regards to the cross, hold tightly. If I die, I hope there's no electrocution, but if Jesus died, got value. If I die, no value, I tell you, okay? Hold on to the cross tightly. Don't lose the wonder. This will be a good moment. You can take a picture. Okay. Don't lose. No, it's okay. It's okay. Don't lose the wonder of the cross. Can someone give me a good amen? Never ever take the things of God for granted. Ho hum. Another day in church, ho hum, another miracle, ho hum, another salvation, ho hum, again the message of Christ, ho hum, the word of God, ho hum, worship, oh ho hum, pray, pray, ho hum, it's a communion meal again. Guess what? It's that time of the service again. Stand up, do 11 claps, sit down, raise your hand, do this, do that. Never ever get into this mode, but always have a heart of gratitude. We were dead, but praise God. That isn't the end of the story, because the story continues. We were dead, but we are forgiven. We are forgiven. In verse 13 and verse 14, the Bible says, when you were dead in your sin and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, we were dead. There was a point in our life. The Bible says, go on to say, God made you alive with Christ. We were dead, but God resurrected us. God made us alive with Christ. How? He forgave us all our sin. Man, wow. I don't know about you. You're probably more righteous than me, but I'm so glad. The Bible says God forgave us all our sins. Big sins. Small sins. Sins that have been found out. Sins that are waiting to be found out. Sins that are obvious, walking around like a proud papaya. Sin that's in your heart. Thank you, I hope you die. Thank you. The Bible says God forgave us all sins. He made us alive. He forgave us of all our sins. Verse 14, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness. You see, in the Jewish culture, they portray sins as debts or IOUs before God. When you sin against God, you owe God. Now, talking about debts, I'm sure all of us would one time or another, even now, be in some form of debts. Do you have a housing loan you need to service? A car loan? Student loan? We all have loans that we need to service. In some form of debt. And for those of us who have ever incurred big loan before, you know the unpleasant feeling. Having to service a loan month after month after month after month after month. No, TV ad lied to us, isn't it? Buy this right now for an easy payment of $200 for the next 48 months. Let me tell you, friends, there isn't a single payment that's easy. Can someone say amen? Every payment is difficult. Every payment is tough. Imagine some of us here. You have ever taken loan from Along? Terrible feeling. One of my staff, when she was a high school student in our church, she told me that her father got into some kind of a loan problem with some Along. Afternoon when she came home from school, then in the afternoon, the Along would come and just boom, 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 bang on the door. She said she's so scared. She'll go to a toilet, lock the toilet door, and just squat down there and just cry, help me, help me, help me. So every day she go back, there's just great fear because every time she turn a corner, then turn into her HDB flat, the house, she doesn't know what she's going to find. Either it's going to be some paint splash on the house or the door's going to be locked. And then when she go down the corridor, there's always a sense of fear because at the turn of a corner, it's going to say, oh, money, pay money, then the father's handphone number. She is always living in fear. So imagine if having a debt that must be paid off for several generations is painful, if having a debt that's owed to the Along is scary, can I even begin to imagine having a debt that we can never, ever pay off for all of eternity? All of us. From Mr. Philip Ng to Mr. Jeffrey Chong and everyone in between, we were all in debt towards God. But the Bible says in verse 14 that God canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. You see, the word canceled here doesn't really do justice to the concept of what God is trying to communicate here, because nowadays, when we use the word cancer, we use it in a more in a lighter fashion, if I may say. For example, right now, Daniel and I, we want to go to New Tech Park. Hey, Daniel, let's book a Grab. You also book a cancel your Grab booking. Pastor Claudia wanted to go some dinner with me. I booked a restaurant, and then suddenly the Holy Spirit came upon her and said, there's no need to spend this kind of money. Praise God, okay? Then I said, okay. I'm going to cancel the booking for this restaurant, McDonald's. Oh, very expensive. Okay, cancel. Burger King, okay? Or some we use the word cancel like, oh, today cannot meet you, tired. Let's cancel the appointment. We use cancel in such a way, but the Greek word here is a much stronger word. The word here is exalepha. For those of you in our Vietnamese church who are watching this, this is not a kind of pho, okay? This is exalepha. It's a Greek word. I know you're excited. Right, after this, you can have pho. This exalepha. Cross between later and for later. What it means is this: exhalation. It means to eliminate. It means to wipe out. It means to destroy. And I love the last word. It means to obliterate. Wow, how cool is that? To obliterate. Those of you who are parents here, right? Tonight, you go back. Should use this word on your children. You know, if they anger you, you better go to room before I obliterate you from the face of this earth. So your children get scolded and learn a new word, praise God, isn't it? Obliterate. So it's a very strong word to eliminate, to wipe out, to destroy. Acts 3, chapter 19, this word was used, exalepha. It says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be exalepha. It may be wiped out. It may be eliminated. It may be obliterated. That times of refreshing may come from the Lord. A similar Hebrew word is used in Isaiah 43. Check this out. Isaiah 43. God says, not Jeff say, God says, I am he who exalepha. No, this is not exalepha. This is Hebrew, all right? Who blots out, similar word, who blots out your transgression for my own sake. And then God says this, and remembers your sin no more. God, wipe away all our wrongs, all our sins, and remember our sins no more. All our debts, now watch, all our debts has been wiped off as if it has never existed before. Think about that. As if it has never existed before. God remembers our sin no more. God remembers our sin no more. What this means is that God chooses to forget. Now you must understand, choosing to forget is different from being forgetful. You understand what I'm saying now? So you may think that God becomes forgetful because God has been God for a long time, so he's getting old. So he's becoming forgetful. No, that's not what the Bible is saying. The Bible says God remembers our sin no more means God chooses to not remember or God chooses to forget our sin. When we come before the Lord, when we repent, God exalepha. God wipe out, eliminate, destroy, obliterate all our wrongs as if they had never happened before. But you see, men, we are different. To forgive, it's not easy. To choose to not remember someone who have wronged us is even more difficult. That is why in close relationship, especially in marriage, we hear statements like this from time to time. You are never change one. You are, wow, always like that. How many times I tell you already? I'm watching you fifth time already, okay? But who's counting? I'm not telling you fifth time already. Because human beings, we are like that. And in my opinion, friends, one of the most underestimated attributes of God is his ability to forgive and choose to forget. Because we are not like that. We begin to portray our image to God. Now, don't lift up your hands. How many of you here have ever repented of the same sin at least two times? Not you, right? Only me, right? Because you'll repent once, change already, right? How many of you here have ever repented the same sin more than 50 times? How many are glad that when you go before God, you repent, God didn't say, how many times did I tell you? The image of God. But when God forgives, God forgives. He remembers no more. And I'm so thankful for a God like that. Because unlike you, I've gone before God so many times to repent of the same sin. And if I can be very honest with you, when I come before God and I repent, even though I mouth those words, sometimes in my heart of heart, I think to myself, hey God, I don't think this will be the last time. Maybe not you, but that's true about me. But I'm thankful that I have a God who, though I was dead, He forgave me. And He chose to remember my sin no more. And that sets me up on a path where I can live a victorious life. Because every day, every moment, I can start on a clean slate. My past does not have to define me. My past cannot hold me back because I'm in Christ. I am a new creation. The old has passed away. So today, instead of just talking about this, why don't we take a moment right now to really start on a clean slate? Can I invite you right now to reach out to your communion cups wherever you are? Would you just reach out to your communion cups wherever you are? Let's take a moment right now. If you are already a believer, I'd like to invite you to join us. You are not a Christian as yet. You may want to refrain from participating at this point in time because at this moment, it may not have much meaning to you. But you have come in as a pre-believer in the beginning of service. But during the course of a service, you came to a point you understand that you were dead in your sins. And you know that God has forgiven you. You know that you want to receive Jesus into your life and as a Lord and your Savior. I want to welcome you to participate with us in this communion meal for the very first time. As we lift up the cups, I want you to just close your eyes, to just bow your heads. Perhaps some of you, you are living in some form of a guilt because in the year 2019 or even before that, you had done something that you find it hard to come to a place, even though you repent before God, it's kind of hard for you to receive the forgiveness of God into your heart by faith. Perhaps some of you had an abortion in 2019. Perhaps some of you did something terrible with regard to a marriage. You were involved in an affair. Or perhaps some of you got into some trouble because you cheated, you lied, you did something that you're so nervous. If this news were to come out on the front page of the newspaper, you say that, man, it's going to be a bad thing. Or perhaps some of you here, you have some kind of knots in your heart. Even though people may not know it, but you know it, and you come to this place and say, God, I feel so guilty. The Word of God would say to you that God forgive you of all your sins, and He remembers them no more. If you come to the cross, you receive His forgiveness, you can start afresh, as if it never existed before. God gave you a fresh start. And some of you here, perhaps the truth about you is that there's some people whom you find hard to forgive. It could be your spouse, it could be your children, it could be your parent, it could be a co-worker, it could be someone in church. You find it hard to forgive. But as you come to this meal at the foot of the cross, God is reminding you, just as He has forgiven us of a debt that we can never ever repay, with the same forgiveness that we receive, now render the same forgiveness to those who have wronged you. God is not saying it is easy, but God is saying that it is possible. Begin to mouth those words right now. Say, God, I forgive this person. I forgive that person. Because when I don't forgive, The person who is trapped is not the person that we are angry against. The person who is trapped is ourselves. And we want to be set free. Father, we come before you today. The first service of 2020, the first service of this new decade. I pray for everyone who is here in Axis, North East Center, West Center, anywhere around the world. We gather together, more than just as a Hope Church family. We gather together as your children. And we come before you at the foot of the cross, believing in your word that you say that you blot out all our transgression and you remember our sins no more. And that set us up with a clean slate that we can begin to live a victorious life. Lord, we receive it by faith. We thank you for your works on the cross. We honor you, we love you. In Jesus' name, and everyone say, Amen. Let's take the communion together right now, shall we? Those at the front row, you can just leave your communion, empty communion cups on the ground. Those of you in the seats, put it back into your holder. Those of us watching us on the screen, just put it on the floor. Now turn to someone beside you. Tell them this: I was dead, but I am forgiven. Come on, tell them. I was dead, but I am forgiven. Praise God. I was dead, but I am forgiven. We were dead. We are forgiven. Lastly, we have won. We have won. Now go with me to verse 15, would you? All right, let's move on together. Let's finish the story. We were dead. Bad news. We are forgiven. Great news. We have won. Greatest news. We have won. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. Let's look at what the Word of God says. The Bible said this, and having disarmed the powers and authorities. The word disarm here means to strip off. But the Bible is saying that Jesus stripped off the power of darkness. And he made a public spectacle of them. In some version of the Bible says that Jesus stripped off the power of darkness and put them to public shame by winning, by triumphing over them by the cross. Jesus defeated darkness and put them to public shame. You must understand that in those days, when Paul was writing his letter to the church in Colossae, they understood the image that Paul was trying to communicate. Because during those days, the king would award the victorious general a parade around the city with the prisoners of war tied up following behind. So the general go out to war, the general won the war, and the king will say, hey, let's celebrate together. Let's celebrate together. So what they will do is that they will ask the general with his army, and then the prisoner was behind, they will march through the city hall. So when the people who were there, they saw the general and the army walking past, they'll be so happy. They'll shout, we have won, we have won, we have won. And then when it comes to the enemies who is marching at the back, or not marching, just walking at the back, being dragged along, you are defeated, you are defeated. So this is both a moment of public celebration for the victorious people as well as a moment of public shame for the defeated foe. So the Bible describes Jesus as such. You see, when Jesus went to the cross, he died for us, we are forgiven. But the grave couldn't hold him because 3 days later, he resurrected and he is alive. And when he came to life, it's like the general. Jesus is our commander in chief. He's our king. He marched through the city hall. And the people of God, you and I, we shout, oh, we have won, we have won, we have won. And the enemy of God, demons and the demonic powers, you are defeated. You are rendered powerless by the blood of the Lamb. So this is the situation that was happening then. There's some of you who are sitting down here. You're a little bit more astute. The question that you may be wondering right now, so Pastor, what are you saying? You're saying that after I come to know God, are you saying that I will never ever struggle again? Are you saying that after I came to Christ, I'm in Christ right now. Are you saying that I will never sin, I will never fail again? Is that what you are saying? No, that is not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is this: even in our struggle, we need not be discouraged that we can never overcome this weakness, this sin in our life. That is what I'm saying. Because we do not fight with our own strength, with our own determination, with our own tenacity. We fight relying on God. We fight relying on the finished work of Christ on the cross. We fight daily battles, but the war has been won. You must understand this. We still have to fight daily battles. When we go to work, when we go back to our family, when we face challenging time, when we try to do God's ministry, we fight daily battles because we are sinful and we live in a sinful world. We fight daily battles, but make no mistake, my friend, the war has been won. So now look, this is important. We were dead. We are forgiven. We have won. Now we live a life of victory. We move towards the glory days when we see Jesus face to face, when all the glory of heaven and earth will be revealed. We march, but we fail because we got angry, because we got lustful thoughts. We said the wrong things. People wrong us. We still fall. We still sin. So what do we do when we are here, when we fall? What do? We don't go back to the pre-cross day and beat ourselves up. Oh, I got to be better. I got to be gooder. I got to change. I got to be holy. Oh, you're struggling and striving for victory. You don't go here. What do you go? You go back to the foot of the cross. Because at the foot of the cross, you repent. You receive the forgiveness of Christ from the blood that was shed. You go back to the cross because Jesus died, He resurrected, He sent the Holy Spirit to live in you. Holy Spirit brings about transformation. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We go back to the cross and we let the Word of God wash our mind anew. If anyone be in Christ, help me, He is. There's about three people in this service. Praise God. He is a new creation. When we are wrong, as we march towards victory, we don't go back to the pre-cross day. We go back to the cross. His finished work is the starting point of our victorious living in Christ. Don't live there. Live here. Start there. Live here. Not there. Start here. Live here. Watchman Nee says it well. Watchman Nee says it this way. I'm going to invite you to read together with me. I'm going to read the outside of Christ. You're going to read it in Christ. I love it. So please read it with great gusto. Watchman Nee say, outside of Christ, I'm only a sinner. You go. But, let's try it again. Come on, let's do it 1,000 times louder. NEC, let me hear you live, okay? Outside of Christ, I'm only a sinner. Outside of Christ, I'm empty. Outside of Christ, I'm weak. Outside of Christ, I cannot. Outside of Christ, I have been defeated. How meaningful are the words in Christ? If anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. You know, in our church, we have many people who have experienced victory in our life. Remember Christmas? We heard this guy, this gentleman who goes by the name of Kenneth. He shared about his gambling and smoking habit, remember? To see a grown man cry is quite something, isn't it? I was sitting beside Pastor Daniel. Kenneth cried, Daniel cried also.
But I didn't cry, Daniel. You beat me to it. I think some of you have already known the news because you are connected to our church social media. While his story was being shared on Christmas, both on that same Christmas weekend, both his younger daughter, Tiffany, and his wife, Jasmine, came to faith in Jesus Christ on the very same weekend. So we are so thankful to God for it. For his wife, it was a long 2-year wait. Prayed for his wife. Wife came to a point, said, yeah, give my heart to Jesus. Another story I'd like to share with us is this lady. She's in this service. Her name is Christina Wong. Let me read to you her story. In 2009, my dad underwent emergency heart surgery at a private hospital. In the aftermath of that, we were facing an unresolved hospital bill of $48,000. This was after my dad's business failed, and he was working as a taxi driver because he did not know what else to do anymore. My parents were quarreling almost every day, and there was one major fight that resulted in them not talking for almost 10 years. My father kept to himself and lived as though he was on his own. He would throw things around the house and slam the doors as an expression of his unhappiness. My mom would hide in the room or choose to spend time outside the house if dad was at home. For the next 10 years, they lived together under one roof, but as strangers. Being the only child, I became their middleman and messenger. I resigned myself to the fact that God will not be able to restore this relationship between them. This year, my dad had a stroke during his heart operation that left him paralyzed in one entire side of his body. The doctor had prepared us for the worst, that my dad would be wheelchair-bound for life. At the age of 25, I became the sole breadwinner and caregiver of my whole family, including my estranged parents. I asked many whys and why me. Being single at this age, I began to wonder who would want to marry me now. I shed many tears and had to make many sacrifices for the family. I began to envy my friends who were living such seemingly carefree lives, hanging out, doing ministry, accomplishing their dreams, achieving milestones. It seemed like everyone else had a life and was moving ahead, while I had lost mine and was stuck in time. During the time while my dad was in the ICU, I prayed desperately that God would intervene in this situation. My mom's heart towards my dad began to soften during this period, and she started caring for him in the hospital. Over the past years spent caring for my dad in the hospital, miraculously, my parents started conversing with each other. We could finally talk. We became concerned with one another. We were learning how to be a family again. During this season, I was also working on the publicity committee for the Celebration of Hope. My mom had agreed to come for the Chinese rally, and that night, while I was on work duty there, she decided to go down to receive Jesus Christ. 1 week after that, I found that my dad also received Christ. Apparently, the pastor from the hospital chapel has been visiting him almost daily and praying for him. There were also chapel services in the hospital that he was in, and he had been attending them without our knowledge. During this period, I'm very thankful that my bosses have been extremely understanding towards my situation and allow me to work flexibly during this season so that I can spend more time in the hospital with my parents. My colleagues also have covered my workload and even wrote prayer cards for my dad. Financially, we've been very blessed that the hospital bills were all claimable by insurance so that we could focus our emotional energy on my dad's recovery. My dad had been recovering well. He's no longer wheelchair bound and is now able to walk long distances without any assistance. He has also regained strength and movement on the left side of the body. Though he's still on the road to full recovery and my family is still tight on finances, I am walking by faith, thanking God for the victory that he has already brought and trusting him for the victory that is to come for the year 2020. Let's give God a big hand, shall we? Christina, we applaud you. Christina, we applaud you. Come on, let's give God a big, big hand. You know, this sermon, this year, the focus, we have one. I don't want to just come here and just be your senior pastor. Share with you the direction of the church. Get a church behind things that we need to do. and move the movement forward. I don't want to just do that. I, as your senior pastor, want to experience this in my own life as well. I want to be able to say, not just, we have won. I want to be able to say, I have won. So I'm praying to God that this year, there's some things in my life, God, I say, God, please help me. Those are my character. I say, God, help me. I want to be a kinder person. I want to be more loving. I want to be more patient. God, please help me. If anyone be in Christ, I'm a new creation. I want to ask God to help me in this area. I want to ask God to help me to lead our movement better. Why? Because people matter to God. There is no higher stick than what we are doing right here. It is not just a life and death deal. It is an eternal death and eternal life deal. Say, God, you got to help me to bring the best that I can to every meeting, to every talk, to every leadership gathering. I want to have victory in my life. I want to develop my marriage with Pastor Claudia. Love each other more. I want to grow so that both of us can be wonderful spiritual parents to this movement that God has entrusted to us. It's not just we have won. We can only win when you and I also win. That's where it begins. So this is how we're going to respond as a church. If you take out this card right now, just take out this card right now. I want to urge all of you to take out this card. This is a sacred moment. I want to take out this card. This is not just an activity I want you to go through, but this is an act of faith. Now, before you write anything, would you just look up at me right now? Just look at me right now. There are four squares there. Some of you, areas of personal character, perhaps some of you are in debt. And you say, God, this year I want to get a hold of my finances. Money shall not be my master, but money shall be my servant. Some of you here have addiction issue. It could be pornography, it could be smoking, it could be gambling, it could be visiting prostitute. Whatever it is, you say, I'm going to change because I'm in Christ. Some of you, it could be depression. I want a personal victory in my depression. Some of you could be a health issue. You say, I'm going to pen down. If you need a card, just lift up your hands. If you need a pen, just lift up your hands. Our usher will be more than happy to serve you. In the marketplace, your work, you can pen down. This year, God, I want to trust you for a promotion. I want to trust you for an increment so I can have greater influence in the marketplace so that I can bless my family with greater resources. Not just my family, but the church body at large. Or some of you perhaps need your pen down. This year, I want to find true fulfillment in my job. Not just go to work to make a living, but to go to work to live a life for Christ. Surely you got to lift up your hands. You're not very tall, okay? You got to lift up your hands so that they can see you. Relational. Some of you, perhaps you need to write down, I need to grow in my marriage. My conversation with my spouse is somewhat like a shouting contest. Or I need to have some growth with regards to my relationship with my kid, my child. Love him more. Love her more. Regardless of how they respond to me or don't respond to me. Under relationship, you can write down, perhaps there's some people in your life you want to see coming to faith. Could be your parent, could be your spouse, could be your children, could be your colleague, your good friend. Just pen it down. Ministry, pen it down. Step up to be a life group leader. Those of you who are living life group, region, zone, I want to be more fruitful. And then just go through the motion. But bring my best to the kingdom of God. As you prayerfully pen down. Let me say it again, it's not an activity, it's an act of faith. When you pen it down, it's your prayer before God. It's like presenting incense before God. Holy and pleasing in His sight. Just pen it down. Just pen it down. Prayerfully, just pen it down. Please, you're going to go through this from time to time throughout the whole year. I don't want anyone to miss out. Let's journey as a church. Let it not just happen on stage. Not just we have won, but you, I, have also won. I'm going to give you some time. Just pen it down, pen it down. East Center, West Center, pen it down. It's an act of faith. God honors faith. Anything can just be an activity, but anything that we do can also be an act of faith when we combine it with the truth of God, with a heart of faith, and we see God works miracle. The entire year we're going to hear testimony after testimony, victory after victory, how God help us, how God fight for us, how God was with us. Let's do that right now. Write your pen down, some healing. You want to trust God for some healing. Area of your body, mental illness, depression. Pen it down. Pen it down. God's hand is not too short. God's hand is not too short. He can reach you. Have a heart of faith, my friend. Have a heart of faith. Because of the cross, we Another 2 minutes. One more minute. You can write in full sentences, you can just write in quote, as long as you can understand. Whatever is helpful to you. Couples, you can write together also. Couple goals. Ultimate couple goals. Some of you are asking for a few. You have a lot, maybe. Can we stand together right now? Can we stand? Can we stand? Let's leave our cards to the Lord. Say, God, you are good.
God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me, oh God. God, you're so good. God, you're so good.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, God, you're so good.
Declare it, come on.
God, you're so good. You're so good. We declare your goodness, oh God.
You're
people. Yes, believe it, declare it.
Bought for me,
yes, Lord.
What Calvary has bought for me, both now and forever. So we can declare that together, that God, you're so good, no matter what. God, you're so good.
Say it out loud, people. Say it out loud.
God, you're so good. You're so good to me.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's give him praise. Let's give him the honor. Come on, people. Let's declare it. God, you're so good. You're so good. You're so good. Amen. Now, let's do this. Let's take out your card right now. Just lay hands on your cards. Let's take out your card right now. Just lay hands on your cards. When I count to three, we pray. We pray and we present our request before God. We believe. If anyone be in Christ, come on, help me. He is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new is here. All right, when I count to three, let's leave it up to the Lord. Let's pray together, shall we? If you're a couple, you want to hold your wife's hand, okay?
you hold your wife's hand. If you write, I want to mend my relationship with my wife, maybe don't hold first, just write first, okay? Then we can pray. Next one, okay? Are you ready?
Amen.
We leave it up to the Lord, okay? 1, 2, 3, let's pray together. Hallelujah. Shikala bahala biyande. Hallelujah. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, by the cross we have won. Because of the work of Jesus on the cross, we can have victories in our life. Not by our own work, not by our own strength, not by our own determination, but by the grace and mercy of God alone. We present our request before you in Jesus' name. And everyone say, Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Sanders, you can take over. And those in the exits, can I encourage you to just take your seats right now, wherever you are? Just take your seats wherever you are. And I want to give you some instructions about this card, so I need you to pay attention to me. Don't be running off to the washroom or going to pick your kids yet. Now, the information on this card that you wrote down, some of the battles that you've been having, some of the struggles in your life that you want to see victory over in 2020, in this card will be kept confidential. What we'd like you to do right now is to take this card, fold it as how it's folded, and then just, there's a little flap here in the middle, and just make sure that it's sealed here in the middle. Write your name. If you're connected to a live group, you can write down your live group. And on the back of your card, there's another box which we'd like you to write down your name and also your residential address. The reason why we want you to do this is because we're going to collect the cards. And at a later time in the year, we're going to revisit this card and what you have written down. And we're going to believe God that many of these prayer requests, many of these commitments to God that only God can do, are going to be answered according to God's will and God's plan. And we'd love to revisit this sometime later in the year, and we're going to mail it back to you. So if you have a permanent residential address in Singapore, we'd like you to write it down. If you don't have a permanent address, what you can do is either you write down your office address, or you can write down the address of someone close to you and it will be mailed to them. And this card will remain confidential. And if you'd like to keep the information of what you recorded on the card for your keepsake, then before you seal it, what you can do is open it, take out your mobile phone, just snap a photo of it, just as a reminder to yourself of what you're believing God for in 2020, then seal it. And when the ushers pass the envelopes, we can drop that in. Later on, when the ushers pass the envelopes, please do not be dropping your tithe or your offering inside, because this is only for the collection of the victory cards, all right? So if you got all that information down, basically write down your name, your live group, if you're connected to one, and at the back, write down your name, your residential address, or the address of someone who will be able to pass this card back to you, because later on in the year, we're going to revisit this commitment that we are making to God. If you want, take a photo of it for your keepsake, and then after that, seal it. And now, ushers, you can help me to pass the envelopes. As the envelopes pass by you, please only be dropping the victory card inside, but not any tithe, offering, or any form of money. If you have a tithe and offering that you would like to present, the opportunity for you is after the service. Outside this reception, there is a drop box that looks like a red color post box, and in there you can drop your tithe and offering, and it'll be securely received by the finance department. All right, so if you have a tithe and offering that you wish to present later on after the service, just outside this door 4A, you can drop your tithe and offering inside the drop box, and it will be securely received by our finance department. As the ushers pass the offering bags, as the ushers pass the envelopes, please drop in your victory cards as a commitment to the Lord. And for those of you who are here in the Axis who do not yet know Jesus, you do not yet have a personal relationship with Jesus, I want to let you know that this victory is not just for Christians or for believers, but it's also for you. And the first step to a victorious life in Christ is to really receive Jesus into your life as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you'd like to find out more of how you can do so, well, either turn to the person beside you, go to our Connect Corner, or find out from any of our leaders at the end of the service. We'd love to share with you more about how, with Jesus on your side, things will be completely, completely different, all right? So as the ushers pass the offering bags, let's drop in our victory cards. Let's do that right now. Thank you. Church, if you are done writing your victory cards, I'd like you to just lift your heads and look up at me right now. I know some of you are having conversation, and I thought now would be a good time to share with you something that I think God has placed in my heart. That I sense in my heart that as we're doing this year, it's not just a church exercise, or it's not just an exercise that we have come up with, but I sense that for some of you, it represents the renewal of hope. It could be an area of your life that maybe you're too embarrassed or too ashamed or too defeated to even pen down, but as you have done so, that this year the Lord will renew your hope. And this year, when the Lord does what only He can do, He gets all the glory, all the praise, all the thanks. And that when God brings you a miracle and a victory that you know is way beyond yourself, your faith will be strengthened and your hope in Him will be renewed. Our trust is never in ourselves, not even in the exercise of the church, but our trust is in the Lord. And when God does only what He can do, we just marvel and give thanks to the one who is worthy and deserving of it all. And so I want to encourage you that as we continue to move forward in this, let us believe God that He is the one who holds our future, our 2020 and beyond. And I want to let you know also that this year, our Hope Conference 2020, the theme of this year's Hope Conference 2020 is also, we have won. And we have incredible speakers, Pastor Alan Platt and Pastor Benny Ho, who are going to just give us words to strengthen us so much. I want to invite you to join us for our Hope 2020 conference. Registration is open and you can watch the video behind me.
Redemption is God coming to say, I have made you a new creation. You once again experience what it is to have the glory of God in your life.
You are a child of the living God. You have been purchased with a supreme price. You have been called to a life of holiness. You are in this world, but you are not of this world.
We want the world to see marketplace change, city transform, and nations turn to Jesus.
It's happening on the 30th and 31st of May, and we're really excited. And some of you are excited, but maybe you have some concerns. Hey, how much is the parking? Where to find food and all these things. You may be worried about the cost and everything. So the conference team has been working really, really hard to keep costs low and also find avenues for us to keep some of these peripheral costs low as well. So more information will be coming over the next few weeks, but we really want to encourage you to sign up. Join us for our amazing family gathering of our local and global churches on the 30th and 31st May for the very first time at Resorts World Center. Host our Hope Conference 2020. We have one. We will see you there.